Christmas, everybody. Hope you all got to enjoy some family time this week. And we've got to visit with Tammy's brother from Minnesota. He drove down about 12 hours to him and his wife came to visit us. So we enjoyed seeing him. It's been a couple years since we've got to catch up with him and his wife. So we really enjoyed that. Last night we went to the Kienert Dairy in Fort Wayne to their little restaurant to get some ice cream. And if you ever go, get one scoop, don't get two. Two was way too much for me, and I'm a big ice cream eater. But we enjoyed our time last night, took the grandkids there, and Georgia wanted chocolate. That's what she kept saying, I want chocolate. And I showed her all the flavors. I still want chocolate, she said. The kids came. No, the kids came too. And Amber got a sweatshirt. Drink milk, be merry. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we thank you for this season to reflect on you and to reflect on the relationship with us that you humbled yourself to come as a little baby. Heavenly Father, and you lived your life among us here on earth. And Heavenly Father, through your death and resurrection, provided a way of salvation for all of us. And Heavenly Father, we're just thankful for that. We're grateful this morning. Heavenly Father, we ask for blessings upon these words this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, this week, as I reflected on the birth of Christ, I thought about how he humbled himself to come here as a little baby. He could have came in any form he wanted to, any way he wanted to appear to us. He wasn't restricted by any means. He could have came any way. He could have came as we're going to look at in Revelation. He could have came on a throne. He could have came in the sky as an authoritarian and came down. He could have came any way he wanted, but he chose to come as a little baby to grow, to develop, to be a part of a family. He had friends as an adult, disciples that he honestly had friendships with them as he lived. So he experienced all the experiences that we experience through our life, and he chose to do that. But I think about those that were among his times that rejected him, because the Jews at the time, they were looking for a conqueror. They were looking for somebody to overthrow the Romans, the oppressors. And so they weren't looking for a little innocent baby to come to save them. They were looking for somebody, a warrior, to come and overthrow what they thought was their permanent oppression from the Romans, which we know is just temporary. Times change, things change, governments change. So they were looking at a pretty narrow, temporary thing, and Jesus came for a permanent solution, not just a temporary fix. But I think, why did they look at that aspect of God, why were they looking for that? And a couple of verses that came to mind, or scriptures that came to mind, is in Exodus chapter 14. When the Israelites were leaving Egypt and escaping, this is what God did. Verse 21. So as Israelites were escaping, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on the dry ground with the wall of water on the right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He made the wheels of the chariots come off, and that they had difficulty driving. The Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch your hand out over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. So that was something, a thought in the Jews' minds when Jesus came, that he can't be the Messiah because God destroys our enemies. God wiped out the Egyptians. Let's look at Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, looking at Sodom and Gomorrah, verses 23 through 29. By the time Lot reached Zorah, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, including all those living in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. So here again, people that were not following God, that were evil and wicked, God destroyed them. So again, in the Jews' mind, I think they were looking at that and thinking, you know, God's going to destroy our enemies. He's going to destroy those that aren't following him. But turn to Jonah. Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. So we know Jonah was sent, not willingly, but he was sent to the Ninevites to present a message to them from God. And verse 10 says, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion. It did not bring upon them the destruction that he had threatened. So we see here that God does destroy the wicked, but he also has compassion for those that turn from their wicked ways. He has compassion on them. When I think about Jesus and I think about God and I think about what he's capable of doing, that yes, he was capable of overthrowing the Romans. Yes, he was capable of changing the lives of the Jews for the better by getting rid of the oppressors. That wasn't how he portrayed himself. That's not how he presented himself to them. And if we go all the way back to Genesis, Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And this is a verse that I bring up often, I feel like. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So in the ideal relationship before the punishment of the original sin, God had a relationship with man that he walked in the garden with them. They knew the sound of his footsteps in the garden. So when I think of that, just makes sense, Jesus coming as a baby. If God's desire to have a relationship with us was like with Adam and Eve, that he desired that we would know his footsteps, it makes perfectly good sense that he would come as a baby and walk with us and live with us and experience our experiences. Because from the beginning, he didn't present himself to Adam as, I'm on the throne and you are here. He walked with Adam. If you turn to John chapter 20. Now we're fast forwarding to Jesus lived his life. He was crucified on the cross for our sins. Actually, we'll jump to 21. Well, through 20, we know that that when Jesus was crucified, put in the tomb, and then he was risen from the grave, he appeared to his disciples. And the one I want to focus on is chapter 21. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into a boat, but that night they caught nothing. In the early morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your nets to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul in the nets because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish. They were not far from the shore, about 100 yards, when they landed. They saw a fire and burning coals. There was some fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have caught." So, after the resurrection, again, Jesus didn't appear to them on a throne as an authoritarian. He came to them as a friend. Just like walking in the garden, he was on the beach. He prepared a meal for them. He wanted to feed them. So I don't know what your perspective is of God, but my perspective is he wants to be my friend. He wants to lead me. He wants to guide me. He wants to walk with me. He wants that friendship, that relationship with him. But we know the time that we're in is going to change. If we turn to Revelation, there will be a day that the relationship changes. Revelation chapter 20. Verses 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and the sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. The books were open. Another book was open, which was the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they have done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire, and the lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into that fire, to the lake of fire. At 21, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, from the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And there was no longer any sea. And I saw a holy city in the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. The old order of things has passed away." So there's going to be a time of judgment. There's going to be a time like we've seen the Egyptians and those in the Old Testament, that the judgment had came for them. There will be a time for that. So, but we see that after the time of judgment, God still wants to have that relationship with us. He wants to be our God. He wants us to be his people. He wants that loving relationship. We have many in our community and the world that have a really warped sense of who God is. A lot of them think he's just an authoritarian, just dictating a bunch of rules for them to live by. But I think about my grandchildren, they hear a lot of no's for their good. They hear a lot of no's for their protection. Tammy jokes a couple times that the kids are like octopuses. They come over and they're grabbing everything they shouldn't be grabbing, and they're throwing things, and when you're holding them, they reach out to grab something they shouldn't. So they hear a lot of no's, but it's for their own good. And some people think that that's just what God is he's just telling us no. But he tells us no so that we may live a more abundant life and that we can live more free than what we really understand. But keep that in mind, that God wants to have that loving relationship with you. He wants to be your friend. He's going to tell you no. He's going to correct you. He's going to discipline you. But it's for your benefit, not because he's some monster that is out to get you. He's doing it for your benefit. There's going to be a time of judgment. There will be those that won't follow him, will not spend that eternity with him and have that loving relationship with him. But as we can see from the beginning of our time with Adam and Eve, he desired to have that loving relationship with us, to walk with us, to guide us. And it was us that sinned and that moved away from God. God didn't move away from us. We're the ones that moved away from God. And we ultimately see, when you get all the way through Revelation, he still desires that relationship with us for eternity. So as you seek him this week, I pray that you seek a walking relationship with him. I pray that you have that relationship with him, that he would serve you on the beach, that he would feed you the fish. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for who you are. And Heavenly Father, sometimes we get our perspectives off, and we don't see you who you are. And Heavenly Father, we know that you have this loving relationship that you desire for us to submit to you and to bow our wills to your will. And Heavenly Father, we know that you have the perfect plan. And Heavenly Father, just remove the clouds from our eyes so that we may see you for who you are. Heavenly Father, help us to see our neighbors and our friends and those that are lost like you see them. And Heavenly Father, we know that there will be a judgment day. And Heavenly Father, we know that those that are lost will not be able to spend eternity with you. Heavenly Father, burden our heart like you are burdened for those that are lost. Heavenly Father, we give you all the glory and honor today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.